I'll show you things that you've never seen, and I know places you've never been, to where the grass isn't green, 'cause I, yeah, I should know.
Speaking to you from high above the Warner Center in Woodland Hills, California, this is the first LA Film Cutter podcast. I've been doing this blog slash website since 2004, basically to chart the rise of my career, as well as talking about movies, movie screenings, and other LA-related events, which reach all the way down to San Diego as far as Comic-Con. So I want to jump right into it by talking about a couple of things that happened over the weekend and a few things that are coming up. First of all, Friday night, Rebecca and I went to a double feature screening of Beetlejuice and Multiplicity at a theater that we absolutely love going to, which is the Arrow Theater in Santa Monica. This is all part of the American Cinematheque, which we are both members of. So they did a screening of both of those movies with a Q&A from Michael Keaton in between, which was really cool. And, you know, that's the thing that I love about going to these screenings is the audience is like 50% of the experience. Beetlejuice played first. It was great to see that on the big screen again, and then Michael Keaton came out, and he was really funny. He had these great stories talking about getting together with Tim Burton to make this movie and kind of his take on it and how he was walking around the house trying to find the character and trying to get the walk down and trying to get the voice down. He was on for, I guess, about an hour, which included the Q&A. Suddenly, there was a gentleman who stood up over on our far left and called out, "Mr. Keaton, I have an important question for you." Turned out to be Tracy Walters, who's the actor that played Bob the Goon in the 1989 Tim Burton Batman. So they had like a little back and forth, and they were talking about their kids who were like adults now. And the cool thing was is that it wasn't just about Beetlejuice and Multiplicity. He talked about a lot of, and answered questions about a lot of films from his career, most notably Batman. There was even talk of stuff like Mr. Mom and Night Shift. And then we were trying to figure out if we were going to stick around for Multiplicity, because we were kind of tired, and our friends Paul and his wife were there. They were from Australia, and they were like, "Hey, you guys going to stay? You going to go?" And it's like, we're kind of on the fence. We're not really sure. We're trying to figure it out. So we took a break, came back in, and the lights were going down for Multiplicity. We're like, you know what? Rebecca kept talking about the fact that it's such a great movie, and I had never seen it before, so I'm like, all right, well, let's see how we roll with this. So we actually ended up staying and watching the movie, and it was a lot of fun. I had never seen it before, and it was funny, and it was really good. It was better than I thought it would be. Saturday, we had tickets for a special one-week screening of The People versus George Lucas, which is a movie that I've been really wanting to see, and it was in L.A. for a while. It was part of the L.A. Film Festival, and then it kind of rotated out of the country, and it went to I guess Europe, and it went to Japan, and went to Australia, and I'm like, oh shit, I really wanted to see this, and I hope that it comes back around. Maybe we'd catch it on DVD, certainly. And then I noticed that they were coming back around, and they were going to be showing it for 1 week at the New Art Theater in Santa Monica. I'm like, we have to go. So we got tickets, and we went Saturday late in the afternoon, and it was a lot of fun. Just all of these fans and some filmmakers and critics and whatnot who were talking about, hey, we love George Lucas, what a game-changing movie Star Wars was, and The Empire Strikes Back, and then, you know, Jedi came out and was like, oh, there were the Ewoks, and then we got into the prequels, and of course, even before the prequels, there was the whole, oh, let's go back and redo the movie, and let's put new effects in, and how everybody was so, wow, this is going to be cool, and then suddenly get into the movie, you see the cool effects, and what is this Han doesn't shoot first shit with Greedo, you know? And then the conversation started to change into, wait a minute, things are really being altered here as opposed to just being polished. And, you know, the nice thing was is that the wrap-up, there was a certainly back to an appreciation for Lucas and what he had done and what he had accomplished and how he had changed cinema and whatnot. Go see People vs. George Lucas, great movie. Highly recommended. Yesterday we went to see The Beaver, starring Mel Gibson. Didn't really know what to expect. It definitely looked very different. We'd seen the trailers, and I was aware of the fact that Jodie Foster directed, and of course Mel Gibson, who's had all of the hoo-ha going on in his life through the drunk driving, anti-Semitic tirade, and the whole thing with his girlfriends and all that stuff, editing, ending up on the web and whatnot, and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, you know, a lot of the things he says and does are not cool. But I mean, you know, Jodie Foster believed in him as an artist. I appreciate that. I've never disliked Mel Gibson as an actor or as a producer or his work, take away the personal private life stuff. And I really appreciated his performance in this. It was very, very different. The movie is about depression, but the movie is also about how people talk through a lot of other different methods other than just using their voice, whether it's through their writing or whether it's through their painting. In this case, it's through a puppet of a beaver. The problem right now is that we're right on the verge of the big summer releases. I think people are really in the mood for that, and they're not really in the mood to go and see a movie about depression. So unfortunately, it's not doing as well as they had really hoped, which is kind of disappointing. But after seeing the movie, I could understand that. It's still a great film. Coming up in June, we have some major movie anniversaries. It's the big 3-0, the 30th anniversary for three big movies that came out in 1981. Of course, first one, probably top on the list, I'd have to say, is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Recently, they had a trilogy screening that we didn't get to, but I'm hoping that they do have, like, a big-ass Raiders of the Lost Ark anniversary screening, hopefully in June. I'm keeping my ear to the ground, my eye to the web of what's going on, that maybe they might do something, which would be really, really cool. 30th anniversary of Superman 2. They're actually having a screening of Superman the movie and Superman 2 with a Q&A with Richard Donner at the Hero Complex Film Festival that's going on at Man's Chinese Theater. That's coming up in June. The only thing that's really kind of whacked about that is the prices on tickets are $45 a pop. I ran down the list of all of the movies that they were having. You know, they're having that double feature. They're having Star Trek II, and they're having Dick Tracy with Warren Beatty, which, I mean, that's cool that he's coming out to talk about that. But just looking at the listing of everything, and it's kind of like The Rocketeer, 20th anniversary, most of the cast, $50 a ticket. I mean, dude, you know, we go to screenings like we went to the Michael Keaton thing. And, you know, we're members, and we paid $7 each. Actually, we didn't pay $7 each because I had a voucher. So $7 for Rebecca's ticket and my ticket was free. But normally we pay like $7. If we weren't members, we'd pay $10 for that. But I mean, dude, come on, $50 per person for tickets. I mean, that's just insane. We don't need to do that, you know? Don't do that. Third on the list is Escape from New York, which is what I consider to be one of his absolute best movies. If they have a big-ass Escape from New York screening, that would be awesome. But regardless of any of this stuff, if nobody's doing anything, still, on the actual day of these anniversaries, I'm going to be watching these movies in the 10th Box Cinema. Beyond that, let's get into the work mode. I am still at Happy Hour Creative in Culver City. Things have been going really good with that after a seven-month stint that started in August and ran all the way through the end of March. There was about a month off, which I was really starting to wonder, hello, you know, financially, we need to get start working again. And then the phone rang, and you know, I've been back now for about 3 weeks, which is good. I did get a call from New Wave Entertainment, which called totally out of the blue. The last time that I was there was in December of 2008, working on the DVD for the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still. So they were calling to find out what my availability was, because they had a couple of projects going on, some short-form stuff going into the beginning of June. Certainly when I wrap up here, I'm going to give them a call, which I told them about, and maybe we can segue into that. Finally, call back Trailer Park, as I mentioned here on the site, and, you know, they said to keep in touch, which is great, and certainly I'm very much wanting to get in the door there. Like, there are times when I leave here when I'm going to Rebecca's, and I, you know, practically drive right by the building, and it's like looking up at the, you know, top of the castle on the top of the hill. It's like, one day I want to live there, you know? On the new movie front, we saw Thor, because you saw the review for that. Coming up, we've got Super 8, which I'm really looking forward to. Despite some of the broadcast spots that are coming out, they're making it look scary, like it's, ooh, there's like big jumps and whatnot. This is supposed to be a Steven Spielberg-type movie from the 80s. Kind of like E.T., even like the Goonies. You know, these kids against these incredible events that are going on. And the trailer for Captain America, the first one, the full one that came out, I really loved, and I really appreciated some of the bites that I was hearing from Joe Johnson. He was talking about the fact that this has a little of The Rocketeer in it, and it's a little Indiana Jones. And, of course, he directed The Rocketeer 20 years ago, and I'm really hoping that there's a really nice flavor of that in this movie. And, of course, let's not forget X-Men First Class, which I had some pretty good faith was going to be very cool from the beginning, considering the fact that Matthew Vaughn is directing. Of course, he directed Kick-Ass, which was kick-ass. Love that movie.
and Brian Singer is back as producer of the project. And each trailer and broadcast spot that I've seen for this movie looks great.
Green Lantern, no, I don't know. If it comes out and it's great, then good. But I'm kind of in the boat that I was with Thor, where I'm like, I don't know. I mean, with Green Lantern, it does kind of look like a big video game. And it does seem as though that there's an awful lot of let's go into space or spending a lot of time in space, when actually I felt as though we should kind of do most of our stuff on Earth, and then we'd introduce, oh, there's, you know, the Green Lantern Corps and whatnot. But it seems like, from the trailers, it's almost like, all right, let's spend 20 minutes on Earth, and the rest of the movie we're going to go out and we're going to do this big outer space thing. So I'm wondering, like, how grounded that's going to be for people. The fans, I think, are going to love it, but as far as Joe Sixpack going to the movie, is that going to connect? And of course, the big news is we are just about to hit the 60-day mark of Comic-Con. Comic-Con is coming up in just a little over 2 months. We're going to be heading to San Diego on July 19th, and that starts up on the 20th. And we're all set. Room, membership. Okay, so now I got to make my biting comment about Smallville. Yes, Smallville has ended. Oh my Christ, Smallville has ended. Thank God. What a turd. Oh my God. And I know people are going to be like coming back on this and bitching like, what? What? Smallville's a turd? Oh my God, you were going so well until this point, and then you had to come up and totally... Look, Smallville, I'm sorry. If you're a fan of the show, that's awesome. If you love it, great. If you appreciate it and you really enjoyed it, that's fantastic. Me personally, I felt as though after you got past like season two, that Smallville was really starting to become and did become the rape of the Superman mythos. Yes, I'm using that term, rape, R-A-P-E. Talk about going off book, not just tossing it aside, not just throwing it in the lake, but burning it in a giant bonfire, kind of like what J.J. Abrams did with Star Trek. Let's just toss all that shit aside and we'll do something new. And we all know how I felt about that. So Smallville, of course, I had to see the final episode, the final two-hour episode, which I actually fast-forwarded through some parts here and there while keeping track of the story. There was some stuff that happened in there that I, you know, some of the characters who were new that I didn't know quite what was going on, like Lex's sister and stuff like that. But I actually saw something on Blaster, and they had a thing on there that was called The Seven Ways That Smallville Changed the Superman Canon. My take on that, I'm going to do my own version, called The Seven Ways That Smallville Ruined the Superman canon. So look for that. I'm going to be writing that soon. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be pissed off about that. And I apologize in advance, but hey, we all have our opinion. It really should have never gone to the heights that it did. We shouldn't have had every hero and his brother from the DC universe all showing up in Smallville. The show should have ended with him going and creating the Fortress of Solitude and becoming Superman. That should have been a multi-part final episode. But instead, we're in the middle of the run of the show, and we go to the Fortress of Solitude, and we take Chloe there, and Green Arrow, and all these heroes are showing up. In Smallville, it's like, we're shooting our wad in Smallville. We're not going to have anything left for when he goes to Metropolis. And of course, I've always said, it's like, everybody frickin' knows that Clark Kent is this hero, so by the time we get to him revealing himself, you know, I'm Clark Kent, and, oh, this looks like a job for Superman. People would be like, yeah, Superman is Clark. What's the big deal? The tease just totally went out because you just did everything in Smallville. We're going to do everything. We're going to have Lois Lane come to Smallville. That was at the point when I really started screaming. Why is Lois Lane in Smallville? You know, why are you guys going to the altar at the show finale? Oh, we're going to get married. No, you don't get married. You go to Metropolis, and that's where you meet Lois Lane. The young fans, that's all they know. And if they love it, again, disclaimer, if they love Smallville, Tom Welling is their Clark Kent and Superman, that's great. But I'm sorry, Smallville and Tom Welling will never mean anything to me. And I'm really hoping that the new Superman, produced by Christopher Nolan and directed by Zack Snyder, I'm hoping that that's going to carry on the canon past the Christopher Reeve movies, which is all what we all wanted the Bryan Singer version to do. There are parts of Superman Returns that I still really love. You know, the Buzz clip in that movie is saving the plane. But, I mean, of course, the romance got heavy-handed, the angst, all of that was a bit much. But, I mean, I really, really appreciated Bryan Singer's love of the Richard Donner classic and his connecting in with that and hearing that theme come up at the beginning. So I know we're going to get a fresh Superman when we get into the Zack Snyder movie, but I want to say that there is going to be the love and the respect, and certainly... I with Christopher Nolan's guidance as producer, I really think we are going to get something good and special. Even though Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch was, from what I'm hearing, was really, really bad. I didn't go and see it. So that's pretty much it for now. So I, in fact, am going to get back to work. Take care, be safe, and you will hear the voice of LA Film Cutter again very, very soon. Bye-bye.